This audio message is a production of The Fields Church, located in Mattoon, Illinois. We're a church community that wants to help you follow Jesus Christ, connect to caring people, and passionately serve others. Visit us online at thefieldslive.com.
Welcome. Happy Memorial Day weekend. So good to see you guys, looking across, seeing your faces. We're so glad you joined us today. We are in a series called Whisper, based on a book by Pastor Mark Batterson. Before I dive into today's teaching, I don't know if you had a chance to kind of look over the info guide. One of the things I want you to be very aware of that's so important for the next generation and something that we provide every year is our summer camps to our kids and to our youth. And I want you to know that it is right around the corner, and you can sign up your kids for kids camp and for a youth camp. Kids camp is literally in like a week, so you missed all the early bird registration and everything like that, but hey, like, we don't want to turn any kids away. And then youth camp is in July, the 9th through the 13th. This is just a little glimpse of the beach area at the camp. Sometimes 1,000 kids are there per week, and it is life-changing. God always moves in the life of a child and one of our students at camp. It is just absolutely life-changing. It was at one of the camps that God totally spoke to my heart to transition from going into journalism, just to go work for a newspaper, to go work into a Christian magazine. And it's these same facilities, these same camps, these same times that God speaks. We've had people get called to missions and all kinds of, God just works in these young people's lives. You want to invest in your grandkids. You want to invest in your kids and send them to camp. It's the greatest week of their year. And God can do more in that one week at camp than he does the other 50-some weeks the rest of the calendar year, because everything disappears, the stress, the technology, everything, and they just hone in with friendships and God, and it is awesome. So make sure to take a look at that and ask yourself if you got a relative or somebody that you could encourage to get to one of our camps. We're going to hop into the teaching series today on Whisper. So good news is we sold out of books. Bad news is we sold out of books. So good news is there's this little company called Amazon where I think they just drone it in and drop it on your doorstep. No, I don't think they do that here yet. But if you do need one of the a copy of the Mark Batterson book called Whisper, you can grab that online and you can get it probably by next Sunday. We're gonna be kind of hovering in here for the next 2 weeks. So there is some time for you still to get the book and follow along. We're not going chapter to chapter to chapter on Sundays. I've read the book, our team's read the book, and we just step back and go, this is what we need to speak about when it comes to hearing the voice of God, because I just love this topic. When we're praying and asking, like heading into the summer and this time of year, what is it that we want to communicate to us, and what does God want for us to hear? And in some of the things that we see, even through prayer requests and through knowing you guys in conversations, is I just wish I could hear from God. And this book is all about different ways that you can hear the voice of God. And it's really good, and it's valuable. And for us, we try to do one book a year where we're all on the same page at the same time and say, this is it. And I just can't think of a better topic of us all at the same time honing in and going, okay, God, how can I hear the voice of God? How can I hear from God on a regular basis? I love it. I love the fact that he called it whisper, because it means you gotta get close and you gotta pay attention. And when someone whispers to you, you've got to really just like laser focus, trying to figure out what are they saying. And usually if you're whispering, you're close to that person and there's an intimacy involved as well. And I want to know how to hear from God more. I want you to know how to hear from God more. So it's a great topic, and we're going to dive in. Last week, we really talked just about leaning in and tuning into God, and that God wants to speak to you and go online and listen to that message. And today, though, I want to talk a little bit more from today, the next week, and the third week. We're really going to look at kind of the practicals of what's that mean to hear from God, because typically speaking, God's not speaking to us in an audible voice. We don't hear the voice of God in the morning when we pray. So, you know, sometimes you do, sometimes you might. That's incredible. It's rare, but that doesn't mean that God doesn't speak to us. My wife and I, we've taught a marriage small group for a while, and in one of the sessions that we teach is on communications. Believe it or not, sometimes spouses need to work on their communication. So an entire session dedicated to how to communicate to one another. And one of the teachers that does it and put together the curriculum and said that you may not have a problem with this, but trying to actually listen to your spouse and hear what they're really saying to you. And this is interesting stats that usually the spouse hears. This is how they hear. They hear 7% of what they hear is words. So when they're listening to you and getting the communication from you, 7% comes from words, 38% comes from tone of voice, and then over 50% comes from body language. And so think about this. Let's just take the simple word okay. So maybe you already know where we're going, because y'all have been there. So, you know, hey, can you pick up, you know, milk on the way home? Okay. Text even, okay. So that sounds pretty simple, okay, makes sense. But then sometimes the word okay is like, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do that, we need to talk about this, we gotta go this, okay, 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 okay. Okay sometimes in our relationship, being really transparent here, just means, hey, I'm done with this conversation, zip it. Okay, okay means I'm done, like I don't wanna talk about it anymore, okay. Okay, period, done, okay. And that really is the tone of voice. When I hear, okay, okay, that just means whatever. Yeah, I know. I'm done talking. And so, but then body language is like, that's the big eye roll, hands on the hip. Okay, whatever. You know. The word okay is just two letters. But words and tone of voice and body language speaks volumes, even though it doesn't speak volumes. And that's exactly the way God speaks to us. He speaks volumes, even though sometimes he doesn't speak volumes. And we have to figure this out. Over the next few weeks, we're going to understand these languages of God. I'm not talking German and Spanish. I'm talking about God wants to communicate to us in a lot of different ways. And we need to learn that God actually cares about communicating to us. And we want to be receptive to that. And so since God speaks in a lot of different ways to us, I want us to go over some of these. And to beginning, I want us to start with the foundation, because I don't want us to get off track at all and nothing weird and goofy. It's, first of all, we lay the foundation that God speaks us through Scripture, God's Word. Sola Scriptura. It's Scripture alone. God's Word is the authority. God's authority is His Word. His word is the truth. God's word is what we know that gives us the solid foundation of our truth and our faith, and then our practice of how we live that out. And it's God's word is the foundation. I don't know if you've ever built anything, but you got to do the groundwork first. You got to lay the foundation. You got to get the dirt work done first. And that's how God speaks to us, is he has this solid, firm foundation that is absolutely true and trustworthy, and that is his word. And then there's some things secondary that can rest on top of his word. We'll talk about those. But they have to be able to rest on his word. They have to line up with his word. They have to be able to say this works together, because God's word is absolute truth. It's the authoritative guide. Think of it as the laser level of what is really straight. What is really the line? I was in Quito, Ecuador on a missions trip with some students several years ago. And in Quito, Ecuador is the middle of the earth and is the equator. And when you go to Quito, we were in schools all week long doing school assemblies and telling kids about Jesus and all that. It was an incredible trip, but then we had one day of a cultural day to go and experience a little bit of Quito. And part of Quito, Ecuador is the center of the world. And the center of the world, they've got this huge park monument and the government put together this, you know, these statues. And I think I have a picture of, so you go in and it's Ecuador, 000. That's the equator. And they have this huge monument. And in Spanish, it says it's the center of the world. And there's the south and there's the north. And you pay money to get into this place and get your picture taken on the white line. And you go into the museum and you buy this, you know, all this stuff, and became a tourist trap, all of this stuff. The thing is, so the French scientists came in the early 1900s, and they discovered, now this is the center of the world, and then they you know, gave them the line and everything, and here's the monument, and that's it. The problem is, when GPS came out, it's not the center of the world. They were off. They were off by about 100 yards, maybe a couple hundred yards. And so you can pay like $6 to get into this park and go see all this stuff, or you can take this little dirt track and you pay like half of a dollar, and you know, and whatever the money was in Ecuador, and you go to this tiny little Indian village. And the tiny little Indian village, if you look at this, is the actual middle of the world. And there it says calculated with GPS. Like, they're like, this is the real deal, baby. So and then and it's like, it's no bigger than our property right here, and it's just this little Indian village, and they have it. And so me and my great friend Matt Wilkie, who's a missionary, we laid on the red line. The red line. Now, you have to excuse, that was, excuse my 75 extra pounds on this picture, because that is actually me on the bottom. But we're laying on, and you can see he's wearing the original Burger King shirt, because as a great missionary, he wears that all over the world. Literally, that shirt has been all over the world. And so anyway, long story. But anyway, so we're laying in the center of the earth. You can take that ugly picture off. And but God's word is the center. And some people get off center. And some people think they're right. But if they're not on center of what's actually center. At the center of the world, on that red line, if you took a bowl of water, and they did this. You take a bowl of water. They had a bucket of water with a hole in the bottom, and they'd fill it up with water, and they would move the bucket 1 foot off the line. They would put some grass clippings in it. They would pull the plug, and the water would swirl out this way and leave, just like your toilet bowl. And then they would go to this side of the line, 1 foot over, put some grass clippings in it, and pull it, and the water would swirl the opposite direction because of the gravitational pull of the world. Like, they could prove it. They could prove it, you know. And then right on the line, there was this post with a nail on it, and you could balance an egg on the tip of a nail because of the gravitational pull. Because it was dead center truth. And God's word is like that in our life. And so if we're going to listen to the voice of God, I can't think of a better place to start and a better foundation to lay to say God's word is absolute truth. And it's his way that he wants to speak into our lives. Let's take a look at this in 2 Timothy chapter 3:16. It says this. It says that all scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now think about this. He says that all scripture is God-breathed. It's inspired by God, but it says it's God-breathed. It literally means that the breath of God is speaking into our life. And if you know anything about the breath of God, the breath. You know, in the Old Testament, the way they explained who God was Yahweh. And the way they spell Yahweh, it didn't even have any vowels, but it was like breath. It's like, yeah, hey, Yahweh is like the breath of God. And they didn't even want to be able to sound it out the right way, because they didn't want, they were so serious about who God was. They didn't want anyone to mispronunciate it. So it wasn't even really just spoken out much. But it was the breath of God. And here we got in the New Testament saying, no, the word of God is the breath of God. John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is God. The breath of God is God. And he speaks through us, to us, through his word. And he breathes it out. It's interesting that a whisper is actually more air than it is volume, isn't it? When you whisper to someone, you're kicking out a lot more air than you are noise. And God's breath, it's so loud with volume, or so loud and important, but yet it's not audible. And so this is what it says, that all scripture breathed out by God, and this is what it's good for. It's good for teaching. Let's take a look at some of these points. That one, God's word provides us teaching. This is just how to live. He teaches us how to live life. And that's the greatest thing that every single one of us has in common. We all wake up and do life. Your life might look different than my life, and you might have a different schedule than I have, and your work might look different than my work, but we all wake up and we do life. Some with kids, some without kids, some crazy busy work stuff, some retired, some not, and still they're still in school, and they don't have a clue what work life's like yet. They think they've got it all figured out, but they don't. They have no idea, right, Dakota? Yeah. But God's word provides us teaching. And God wants to teach and instruct us through his breath of life, through the teaching of this word. He wants to speak to you about how you live life every day, and he's going to be able to do that through his word. Romans 15:4 says that for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, that we might have hope. Everything that was written, everything is to teach us so we can live in a way that we live with hope. And we live in a way that Jesus is the center of our life, but it's the guidance that we need. He breathes this truth into our life. The second thing is that what God's word provides, rebuking. Nobody likes to be rebuked. But to be honest, if his word is to teach us how to live life, think of rebuking of just getting us back in on course if we get off course. Now it doesn't sound so bad. It's like that really annoying GPS lady that says, please turn around, you're going the wrong way. You know, but it's changing the course. There's times that we are doing things that we should not be doing. We're living out life in a way that's not in line with God. There's thoughts that we have that are not in line with God. There's words coming out of our mouth that are not the way God would want us to speak. In God's word, when we're reading his word, God breathes into us and says, you know what? There's a different way to live. You are living your life, and I'm going to give you a little bit of course correction. The trajectory is not going the right direction. It's time to get back on course. And God wants to provide that for us. The other thing God's word does is he provides correcting. And so the rebuking is, hey, you're going the wrong direction. Correcting is, and now here's how you get the right way. The rebuking is the warning that this is, you are off. The correcting is, if you turn left and turn left again, you'll be right back on track. And so God's word actually can bring correction in a godly way, in a good way, to help us understand we need to get back on the course. We don't just need to know that what we're doing is wrong and sinful. We need to know that how to change and how to get back into the life that God has designed us to live. And God's word will speak that into us, it says. The other one is God's word then will also provide training us in righteousness. And so now, God's word speaks to us and helps us understand how to do life. He'll give us a warning if we're off track. He'll give us correction, how to get back on track. And now he's saying that he provides this training that is a training in righteousness. And that not only is the how to live life, but this is the heart behind how to live life. Do it with a good heart. Do it with a holy heart. Do it with a pure heart. It's the integrity side of us. It's the character of us more than just the direction. Does this make sense that God cares even about who you are, not where you're going? And God's word speaks to that. He speaks into our life. The voice of the Lord will speak to us about who we are, not just where we're going. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For God's," this is talking about God's word, "God's word is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart." Wait a minute. God's word judges and gets deep, deep. I mean, if you're talking about splitting bone and marrow and joints, it gets deep into the attitudes of the heart. God gets deep into our lives of who we are and what's really in our heart. Because if you get squeezed tight enough, something's going to come out. And that's the evidence of what's really going on deep down in our heart. And the word of God will reveal some of that. When we're reading it, God speaks to us saying, "Hey, this area of your life, you need to tweak it. You need to change it. Your heart's not in the right place." And then it says that God's word equips us for every good work. So not only is it the heart issue of who we are and where we're going, but now it's an action issue. He wants to equip us to do something good with this life that he's designed for us. He's going to tell you how to do life. He's going to warn you if you're off course. He's going to get you back on course and give you directions. He's going to shape your heart so it's in a way that is high integrity and is full of love and grace and mercy, and it's his character and his attributes coming through us. And then he wants you to know that you were born and created to make a difference. We teach all about this in Growth Track 2, by the way, which next week is week one of Growth Track. If you've never been to Growth Track, I would highly encourage you to jump into Growth Track next week. It's week one. It's a great starting point. But we have to know that we've been created to do these good works. And God can speak to you in all of these areas. And it's God's word. We're not just to read God's word. God's word actually begins to read us. And that we're not just to get into the word, but the word is to get in us. I don't read my Bible every day just to get through it and check it off. I read my Bible every day so the Bible and God's word and his breath gets in me. I want God's word to be through me, not me just checking off going, "I got through it." Because if we see it as the voice of God, the breath of God, and who God is, and then all of a sudden when we open up our Bibles and begin to read, we are allowing God to speak into our life. And he's going to speak truth. And it's going to be absolutely accurate and without error. And it's his breath. And it's the small, still voice of God that can speak through the scripture, that when we're reading, and he's like, and he whispers to us. That's why I said last week we got to tune in to God and tune out all that noise, because we got to spend some time with God and let him speak to us, because he is the standard of truth, the level of morality. This world we live in is pretty messy. We need to know right from wrong. Too much gray. I need to know how to lead my kids, how to guide them, how to guide myself, what I watch on TV, what do I say no to, what do I say yes to. He's the master blueprint for life. This is the way it's supposed to be. In 2 Peter, he talks about, 2 Peter writes this, this is the Message version. So just so you know, this is like you're reading and going, "This does not look like my Bible." The Message version is very like, it's made for today's audience of just really understanding scripture in the society that we live in, the culture we live in today. He says, "We couldn't be more sure of what we saw and heard. God's glory, God's voice. The prophetic word was confirmed to us. You'll do well to keep focusing on it." You will do well to keep focusing on God's voice. It's the one light you have in a dark time as you wait for the daybreak and the rising of the morning star in your hearts. The main thing to keep in mind here is that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of private opinion. And why? Because it's not something concocted in the human heart. Prophecy resulted when the Holy Spirit prompted men and women to speak God's word. He's saying, listen, God's word is inspired by God. And when you read it, you know that you are hearing from God. This is the voice of God. This is who God is, actually sharing himself with us through his word. And remember, we already read in Hebrews that it's alive and it's active, which means no matter where we're at and whatever situation we're in, God's word can speak to us right now where we're at. It's not just some old book of incredibly cool stories of our people of faith that lived before us. It's God speaking to us today. It's his way of being able to get into us and communicate to us. It's the foundation of his voice into our life. It's his spirit in a language that we can understand. That's awesome. And to be honest, to be really, really honest, we take that for granted. And we probably don't even cherish the gift that God has given us, that he wants to speak to us all the time. And he will, and he's laid it out for us to read and allow him to speak into our lives. And we don't place it as a priority as high as we place other things in life. And if we realize this is the foundation of who God is and how he speaks to us, and he's inviting us into a relationship with him, we need to dive into that. We need to dive into that. So now that we have this foundation of scripture as God's truth in our lives, knowing that this is how God speaks to us, and this is like rock solid, it's not, there's no air in God's word, then we can say, there's some things that you can build on top of that. There's some other ways God speaks to us that can rest on the foundation of Scripture. It doesn't contradict Scripture, and it's not instead of Scripture. It's God speaks to us through his word, but then there's other ways that he can speak to us. One of those ways is through desires. Psalm 37:4 says, take delight in the Lord. He will give you your heart's desires. Like, your desires and your relationship with God are actually connected. Now, your desires and your relationship with the world are connected too. And so we have to make sure that we're listening to the desires of the Lord that are in our heart, because the enemy is competing and throwing all kinds of other desires at us too. We call that temptation. Temptation to sin, trying to get us to have a desire that's not a godly desire. But God gives us desires. And when we read this, take delight in the Lord and he will give you your heart's desires. The word give there, if you really study that in the original language, it really means to conceive, like to birth. He will birth new desires in you. Think about that. God supernaturally is going to, when you begin to seek him and know God, he will literally give you and birth and conceive inside of you new desires. And then when we live out those desires and we follow those desires, it's God's way of telling us, hey, go after that. That's okay. Go for that. That's yours. I've given that to you. I've given that desire to you to follow. Go for it. And it's a way for God to speak to us. That when we delight ourselves in the Lord, he begins to change the way we think. It all starts here. Here's a verse that some of you guys have heard before. Matthew, Jesus teaches this in Matthew chapter 6:33. He goes, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all other things will be given to you as well. When we are prioritizing him first, and when we seek God, then guess what happens? It's like this domino effect. Of when I seek God first, godly desires come after that. If you seek, let's say, some destructive behavior, like drunkenness, alcoholism, some kind of an addictive abuse, if you seek that, if you seek alcohol, there's this domino effect of desires that lead to all other things. Because there's a domino effect through our desires. People who go to the gym all the time, they're getting really healthy. They get up, they go to the gym, and they seek it, and then there's this domino effect of other healthy choices, and then there's this routine that they get into their lives, and all of a sudden there's this domino effect of seeking to get healthy, and you see all of this chain reaction to that. And when you seek the kingdom of God, there's a chain reaction of seeking the kingdom first. And it's all of a sudden, my desire for God gives God permission then to conceive new desires in my life instead of my old desires that I used to have. And it changes the way we see things. And God can speak to us through his desires. Maybe he's birthed a desire in your heart. And to be honest, you've been holding back. Maybe you've been seeking God and all of a sudden you've got this new desire for something. You're like, wow, that seems really fascinating to me. And you don't know what to do with it. Maybe God is speaking to you. Listen to the voice of God through this. When I was a youth pastor, well, first of all, let me back up. When I rededicated my life to Jesus when I was in high school and just really wanted to I just surrendered everything to him when I was in high school. And after that, literally as a junior year of high school, and it wasn't months later, so I was seeking God for the very first time in my life. All of a sudden, I'm like, I'm seeking God, surrendering everything to him, seeking him. And then all of a sudden, there's this announcement at church one day. I'd only been a Christian for not too long, that there's going on this Mexico missions trip. And everything in me started going, I need to go to that. I want to go to that. I want to go to this mission trip to Mexico. And I had this new desire to go. I grew up in a home that you never left the United States. My dad was like, why would you ever want to leave the United States? There's 50 states I've never visited. You know, why would you ever go outside these walls? You know, and so like going to Mexico is not in us as a family. And was it because of the amazing travel and get on an airplane and go? No, it was a 30-hour bus ride. I was dating Joy. Was it, oh, a week alone with Joy? Joy didn't even go. Her dad did. So you know it had to be a God thing when you're dating somebody and you're going to spend a week with their dad and they're not even there. Okay, that's a big deal. Was it sightseeing? There wasn't even any sightseeing on this trip. All I did was make concrete for a week with a shovel, you know, shoveling sand and rock and all that. But I began to seek God, and all of a sudden, God had given me this new desire, a new desire to do something. And I wanted to go on that mission trip, and I knew it was God. And God just worked just supernaturally in my life, empowered me, and just filled me with this Holy Spirit on that trip. It was incredible that God had put this desire in my life, and I followed that desire. And he was speaking to me, and I'm here today because of that trip. Let me fast forward. Then I became a youth pastor here. When I was a youth pastor, I was taking a missions trip, another missions trip, but this time it wasn't with students. I was leading other pastors on like what we called a vision trip to help them understand a little bit about the ministry we were working with. And I was in Slovakia, Bratislava, Slovakia. Anybody ever been to Bratislava, Slovakia? Can anybody even say Bratislava, Slovakia? So I was in Bratislava, Slovakia. That's a mouthful. And I was just like, it was an amazing experience, not because it was a beautiful place and all this, the history of World War II and all that. I was on this mission trip without kids, without students, and I was able to just focus in and like, okay, God, like I know I'm hungry for more of you and I'm ready for something more, and I was just praying and talking to God. I was walking across this square in Bratislava, Slovakia. And this is an amazing, beautiful area that has rich, rich history. Later, I found out this is all replica buildings because it was all destroyed in World War II. And they built it to look exactly the way it was. So it's not as ancient looking as it's not as old as it actually looks. But anyway, I'm literally walking from corner to corner all by myself late at night praying because our team had gone around and just they were going into little shops and stuff. And I was like, Lord, what do you want to do with my life? Like, I want to be a youth pastor because I like students. I want to stay young, but I love missions. I mean, I'm walking across this going, I want to be a missionary maybe. I just want to do something around the world. And then I was like, but I want to be a pastor one day because I want to lead a church. And I had all these like, Lord, you're giving me all these desires and missions and pastoring and staying young and traveling the world. And I'm just like having this God moment right in the middle of this. This had to be about 15 years ago. And as clear as day, I heard him whisper this into my heart. And he says, if you follow the desires of my heart, I'll give you the desires of yours. And it was as crystal clear as today. I remember standing there. It was kind of wet. It was rainy a little bit. It was really dark. And I just remember God saying, hey, you follow the desires of my heart, and I'll give you the desires of yours. It's amazing. Think about it. Like, all of a sudden, you know, I'm growing up, I've got kids, and I absolutely love football, and I love the sport of football, played football, kids play football, and now I find myself as the chaplain of the EIU football team. It's because God can give you the desires. You follow the desires. Love Central Illinois, pastoring here. We have plans on having campuses all across Central Illinois, right? God's got a great vision for us. I love to travel. I've been to over 10 different countries on missions trips because of God just made that possible. God can get your attention through your desires. My son Dakota, a couple years ago, I spoke at FCA over on EIU's campus at one of their meetings. And I brought Dakota with me. It was a Thursday night service, and brought him with me. And he was sitting there as a seventh grader. And in the middle of this college ministry on EIU's campus, God told Dakota, I get choked up on this one. God said, I want you to start a campus ministry. He didn't even tell me that. I just kind of heard the story later. And he said that, you know, Dad, I'm supposed to do, I want to lead a campus ministry at school, at the Mattoon Middle School. I'm like, okay, like we can, okay, like we'll figure this out. And I said, you know, there's this good program called FCA. Let's see about that. And so, I mean, he's playing sports, had friends, and said, that's fine. He didn't really care what it was called. He just knew God said to do some kind of campus ministry. And God gave him a desire, and he began to follow it. Because it was a desire that when God speaks into our lives, we got to be able to listen to that. And which leads me then to not just the desires part, but the other part that God can speak to us through doors, open and closed doors. Okay? So let's continue this story. So God gave Dakota a desire to do this, some kind of campus ministry. And now I kind of stepped back and said, Dakota, let's just see if it's even possible. And so let's see if the doors are open for that. And I knew the director of the FCA area up in the Champaign, and we called him and said, hey, what would it be like to have an FCA in Mattoon? There's one in the high school, but my son really would like to maybe be a part of doing something in a middle school. And he said, yeah, that sounds great. I'll come down, have him bring a couple of his friends. So the door began to just kind of crack open. And so we met in our living room in the summer between his seventh and eighth grade year. There's about five students and this guy from Champaign literally just sat on the couch and said, what would it look like to have FCA at the Mattoon Middle School? And he said, well, we could do this, and you got to find a coach, and you got to do this and this and this. And the door just kept opening because the opportunity was there. First, you have to do is find a Christian coach. Okay, we found a Christian coach, and he said yes, and he was really excited about it. Door began to open up. We had to, you know, have a place to meet. School said, yeah, this is great. We can have a place to meet. Talk to the assistant principal. Assistant principal said, yeah, this will be great. We'd love to have FCA on middle school campus. So the door just kept opening up, opening up, opening up. And then Dakota asked for the biggest room in the school. And Dad, trying to protect son, said, whoa, you could just be in Mr. Prumer's classroom. There's like 15 chairs. If 10 kids show up, that's huge. That's awesome. Like, Dad, there's going to be more than 15 kids. I don't want to be in the classroom. I'm like, no. And I'm trying to protect him. And I'm like, well, your classroom's good, you know. I'm thinking like 5-6 kids are going to show up. The same ones that were in my living room. And I didn't want him to get hurt. And so he got the biggest room in the school. And they decided to have the biggest room in the school. And they do all the promotion. And the first gathering they have, there's over 70 kids there. And that was a year and a half ago. That was that's 2 years ago because we completed two schools. That was 2 years ago. And this is a picture from this year. They're still running 80 kids. Dakota's out of there. A whole new group of kids coming through. That's Coach Ballant speaking to these. He's the women's basketball coach at EIU, and he's speaking to them. John said this in the book of Revelations. He goes, listen, this is the truth of God. What he opens, no one can shut. What he shuts, no one can open. See, I have placed before you an open door. God is going to speak to us sometimes by just opening doors. Sometimes God speaks to us through closing doors. We don't like when the doors are closed. We like open doors. Closed doors, we're not that excited about. But the reality is that's another way God speaks to us. Sometimes he opens doors. Sometimes he shuts doors. And we have to understand the voice of God. God speaks to us at times through open and closed doors. So listen, as we work through this, we need to continue to just tune in and listen into God. Number one, the foundation is Scripture. We've got to be putting God's word into our life, and we've got to be leaning in on Scripture because God's word is God-breathed. It's his whisper into our life. And then we start to say, okay, God, help me also see other ways. Sometimes it's him birthing a new desire in you. Sometimes it's him opening a door wide open. Sometimes it's him shutting the door and slamming it in our face. And we're wondering why a door slammed in our face. I've had a lot of doors in ministry shut in my face. And looking backwards, I now can thank God for every single time it shut, because I wouldn't be here today. And so open doors, closed doors, the desires God can birth in you, and the word of God as the foundation. Next week, we'll talk about how God can even speak to us through visions and dreams. Pastor Elgin is going to share. It's his last Sunday with us before they head out to Moldova, and he's going to share the entire story of how God spoke to him to call his family to give up everything and to move to Moldova. It's going to be incredible. We want you guys here not just to support and pray for their family as they take off, but to listen to how God can speak to us through dreams. My question is, are you willing to listen to God? He'll speak to you in a lot of different ways. Sometimes it's verbal, sometimes it's tone of voice, sometimes it's nonverbal. He'll speak to us in a lot of different ways. We have to have our spiritual ears on. We've got to be willing to listen. We've got to be able to say, God, I expect you to listen. I ask you to listen. I recognize that that's your voice speaking to me. Let me pray for you guys. Jesus, we love you. We thank you. I pray, God, that you would speak to all of us today about who we are in life and the direction you have for us. Help us to hear your voice right now, Lord. Help us to hear you, God. Church, I'm reminded that Jesus is called the good shepherd. And if you know anything about a shepherd and being a good shepherd, is he took care of his sheep. Jesus is here to take care of us today. And it says that if he had 100 sheep and he knew where 99 was, but one was gone, he'd go after it. Can you imagine Jesus, the good shepherd, sitting there looking over us, 95, 96, 97, 98, 99, where's Mark? Where's Maria? Maybe today the voice you need to hear is him calling your name. Because he's wanting to welcome you home. Because it doesn't really matter if we listen to God or not, if we're not part of his family. He wants to welcome you home. So when he's counting the sheep and looking across us today, if you hear him calling out your voice, that's what he does. He's the good shepherd. Listen to him today. Let him call your voice, and then you respond. Let's pray for those who just need to hear from God today. God, you know those of us who are close to you. You know those who've drifted away. You know those who've never known you. You know those who don't have a real relationship with you right now. And I just pray right now, God, speak into their lives. Call them home. Call them home, God. Let them hear. If they can hear you one time, may it be right now that you whisper into their heart and you've noticed that they've drifted away. Call them home, Jesus. Call them home. Help us to follow you. Help us to turn and hear your voice and go back to the good shepherd. Lord, I pray that we hear that today, and those who need to respond, respond. Because having a real relationship with you, it's the greatest part about life. Thanks, God, for all that you're doing. I pray, God, that you continue to speak to us every single day. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.